those horrors were spared us. And the Savior, you'll see face to face another day. And we surely be.
That's right.
All in His good to be in the Lord's house. Thank you for the opportunity to come around and gather as we are. Realize we have several out today. The wedding was yesterday for Brandon and Mary Helen in Greenville, and all went well there, and a lot of the family were staying down that way, and will be making their way home to help today and pay. So ask the Lord to watch over them and keep them safe. And we ask Brother Doug St. John come and preach today, asking the Lord to touch his heart and give him what we need to hear. And I believe the Lord has. And it is always an honor just to have him with us. And so, Brother Doug, I ask you to come on, preach for us, and carry out the service as you feel it. Bless your heart. Appreciate you.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Godhood.
Amen.
Our time.
Yes.
You have your Bibles, if you would turn with us to the book of Hosea. That's Hosea, one of the small prophets, and it's found right after the book of Daniel. And you know, that's a very easy, an easy place to find. Hosea, chapter 1. Let's pray for your pastor before we do anything this morning. Our Father, as we come into your presence, we thank you, dear Lord, for this privilege we have to stand and proclaim your word. We thank you, dear Lord, for your goodness, your love, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for this good choir that sang, and the one that led, and the musicians that played, for your honor, for your glory. We appreciate their dedication, their commitment to you. We thank you, Father, for the ones who have showed up today to hear your word proclaimed. We pray that you bless them, their families, their homes, their lives. We pray for their precious pastor. We ask, Lord, for your anointing upon his body. And Father, as he seems to struggle, dear Lord, with everyday life, we ask, God, that you would bless him. We know, dear Lord, that you're the great physician. You have all given power. There's nothing impossible to you. You can do all things. You tell us in your word if we have our terrors and our troubles to cast upon you because you care for us. We know, Father, you care for our brother, and we pray, dear Lord, your blessing upon his wife and his family. Meet your needs according to our riches, glory, sin, and healing to his body, to his throat. He continue doing the work that you called him to do in Christ's name. Amen.
Have you found your place to the book Hosea? If you would, please stand with us as we read a portion of God's word. If you can, if you can't, that's fine too. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Bera, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee wife of whoredoms, and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said to him, call her name Loruhamah. I said, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Loruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. And then said God, call his name Lo-Ammah, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be in the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured, he said, nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where ye were said to them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said to them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. May the Lord have the blessing for the reading of his word. You may be seated, the church. I call your attention to verse 2, which will be our text this morning. In the last part, he says that he says to the children of Israel, the northern kingdom, you have departed from the Lord. In other words, the word depart means that you have forsaken me. You have turned your back on me. You rebelled. You have rejected. You have done away with everything I said you should do, and you paid me no attention. You have disobeyed me. He tried his best over and over again to get their attention, to let them know what they had done wrong, and to try with compassion to get them to return back unto the Lord, because this was in their best interest. Had they not done so, or had they done so, things would have been quite different for their lives. But because of their rebellion, because of their rejection, because of their hard hearts, they didn't want anything to do with the Lord. So the Lord called this man called Hosea. And he was going to use him as an object lesson. He tells him to do something that's most unusual. You'd have to say that for sure. He said he wanted him to go down and he'd find him a wife, a prostitute, if you will. A woman that lived a prostitute life. Now they, at that particular time, they had abandoned their worship of God and they had taken on the worship of Baal. Baal was known as a fertility god. He was known, they called him the god of this earth, the god of heaven, the god of this world. They completely just forgot about God altogether. But God was going to get their attention one way or the other. So he told Hosea to marry this lady called Gomer, and she was to have 3 children. And he would name them those children, and each name they gave him would have a special meaning. And so we'll find that as we look on in the scriptures what that exactly meant. Our church is in trouble today. Did you know that? Our churches are in trouble, big trouble today. I wrote this down when I found this. I was just sort of looking at some statistics. It said 1 in 3 Christians have stopped attending church since the COVID. 1 out of every 3 Christians have stopped going to church because of their COVID. Yeah. Can you believe that? Rather than letting faith dominate our lives, we're letting fear dominate our lives. That ain't right. There's nothing right about that at all. So 1 out of every 3 Christians have decided they're going to stay home. And then we got this thing called the internet. And then so people have decided, well, rather than going to church, I can just stay at home and I can watch church on TV. That ain't the same. I don't care how you slice the pie. That's not the way that God intended it for to be. But for some people, even in our church, at Brookmont Baptist Church, we have the same problem. The church attendance has dropped down some. The church finances have dwindled some, and we're not able to meet our budget at this particular time because people have decided, if I'm going to stay home because of the COVID, then I don't think I need to send my church tithes. So therefore, the Christians in the church decided that, well, you know what? I'll just stay home, and I can stay in my pajamas, I can eat my burger, I can eat my fry, whatever, I can watch TV, I can watch what's going on, I don't have to give my church tithes, and therefore, everything's okay. No, it's not okay. The churches are falling away. The churches are decreasing rather than increasing. They said 1 in 5 churches will close within the next 18 months. Are you listening to the church? In the next 18 months, there will be 1 out of every 5 churches will close their doors and put a for sale sign on the front door saying, this building is for sale. It has been estimated that 5,000 to 10,000 churches are closing their doors each year in America. Did you hear that? 5,000 to 10,000 churches are closing their doors in America. Now, we are in big trouble. We are in serious trouble. I don't know where the children are around here. Do you have children in your church, or do you have a children's church? No children's church. Okay. So, where are the young people? Where are the teenagers? Where are the children? I grew up and we had children running around everywhere. Teenagers in the church came to church. They didn't let anything else stop them. The parents made sure they were there. The parents are no longer in control. The government has made sure of that. They want control of your children. They want control of your life. It is God that needs to be in control. I saw the other day, I was watching TV, and I saw, if you can believe this or not, it was on TV. This lady had come up from Peru and only been living in the United States for 2 years. And now she was in some kind of political position that she was wanting to pass a law. Now get this, that it would be a criminal offense if any parent got in the way of allowing their teenager or their child to have a sex change. And she's trying to get that passed in the White House. Have you ever heard such in your entire life? Are we not in trouble today? Is our nation not in trouble? Is our church not in trouble? Surely we are. Just less than 40 years after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now get this. This is Bible. You can read this for yourself. Less than 40 years. The Lord Jesus laid on the heart of John, the Apostle John, to write a letter to the 7 churches of Asia, and the first church, the first letter went out to the church of Ephesus, and you know what he said? He said, you, less than 40 years after the resurrection and Jesus ascended to heaven, less than 40 years, he has to write a letter to the 7 churches of Asia, and the first church of Ephesus, he said, you have left your first love. Yep. I mean, that was in the very beginning, the birth state of the church. Yes. The ecclesia, the church of the living God. He had to write to them and warn them and tell them that they had left their first love. That's easy to do. Yes. Especially in a society that we're living in, when you're bombarded by everything that you can probably think that's a gift, the Word of God. Our nation, Obama said years ago, and I didn't like this, but there may be some truth to it. He said that our nation, the United States, was no longer a Christian nation. That's what he said. I was offended by it. I didn't like it. But maybe it should have made me do something different from what I was doing. I knock on doors. I go visit in the afternoon on Sunday afternoon. Try to encourage people to get in the house of God. Try to get people saved.
The Bible says that where there is no vision, in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Yes. If you don't like the way your church is going, you're the only one that can do something about it. If you don't like your pews, get out here in the church in the highways and byways like Jesus said and compel them to come in. Don't just sit around and dry up and swivel up to nothing. No. There's a way to do it, and it hasn't changed since Jesus came to the planet Earth. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. And Jesus said, as I have done, you also shall do. We're sitting around with our hands and just twiddling our thumbs, wondering what in the world's going on, while the world around us dies and goes to hell. Most people in my community that I live around, I can count them. Not a blessed one of them go to church. Right around me, at my doorstep. Doesn't matter, you talk to them, but that's okay. You need to talk to them. You need to encourage them. You need to help them to see the light. And not get discouraged because when you ask them to go to church, they say, well, I don't think so. And you don't know what you're going to be facing when you go out knocking on doors. But that shouldn't discourage you. That shouldn't scare you. That shouldn't make you be afraid. Because the more this thing goes, the longer it goes, the more people you're going to find interesting out here in the world. Let me give you another interesting fact. In October the 2nd, just a few weeks ago, there was a United Methodist Church down in St. Petersburg, Florida. It was on TV. It was on the internet. At a children's sermon on Sunday morning, they invite a drag queen. You know what a drag queen is, right? Nothing but a homosexual dressed up in a dress. They invited him to come, and he was dressed out in this flimsy dress, very really, with a slit at the side, and had two children sitting on the pulpit area. It was a children's sermon. Had a drag queen to deliver the sermon, preacher. I want to read you what I wrote this down because I didn't want to make a mistake. This guy's name was Isaac Simons. The Bible says this says here, he identified himself as Miss Pentecost. You gotta figure that out. I don't know where that comes from. Miss Pentecost. In a high slit dress, addressed children during worship at Allendale United Methodist Church on October the 2nd, 2022. The United Methodist News Service has given Simmons star treatment as the first openly gay candidate to be certified for ministry in the Illinois Great River Conference. Going to ordain a homosexual, going to ordain a lesbian to stand behind the sacred desk of Almighty God. Here's what this character said. I wrote it down so that I wouldn't get messed up. Here's what he said. We members of the United Methodist Church have the privilege and duty to change the very doctrine of the Bible. Is that not scary? I mean, is that not scary that a congregation in a Methodist church would even allow their pastor to do something like that? I say to you this morning that we have departed from the faith. The churches all over the countryside are leaving the faith of Almighty God and replacing Him with everything but the Lord Jesus. I say this, this scripture here that I read before you this morning, it was written almost 3,000 years ago.
But it could have been written today. In our day and time that we're living in, it could have been written as well to the United States that we have departed from the Lord. The churches are allowing everything under the sun to come in the house of God, but God Himself. The Bible says when it rains on the just and the unjust. How long do you think God's going to allow the United States to continue doing what they're doing? I don't know. The Bible does say this very clearly. It says in the last days it will get so bad that the Lord Jesus said, I will shorten the days for the elect's sake. Every day that I get up, I'm wondering what's going to be said next on the media that's going to shock me. Because every time I read something other, I'm shocked. I'm appalled. That they can even get by with what they're doing today. There are three things I'm going to point to you and quickly and in this passage of Scripture. Concerning verse 2, the Lord said, you have departed from the Lord. The northern kingdom, the kingdom of God, was divided after Solomon, was divided up into two kingdoms. It was the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. Hosea was called to preach to the northern kingdom. He lived in the north, and therefore God had called him out to do some different things. They had departed from the Lord, and so he raised Hosea up, one of the minor prophets, and said, here's what I want you to do, because the northern kingdom is in big trouble. They're on the verge of being completely annihilated. You've heard of the 10 lost tribes of Israel, right? Okay, that's what I'm talking about here. They eventually would not listen to God. They would not listen to the prophet. And Hosea was not the only minor prophet that was preaching during that time. There were other prophets that were preaching the same message, to repent or you're going to perish. But they wouldn't listen. They kept on doing their thing. And, well, you know, we don't have to listen because he's not our God anyway. The three things I want to share with you in this passage of Scripture, number one is the sin of departing from the Lord. You know it is a sin, right? Don't let anything come between you and God. Sin was introduced to us in Genesis chapter 3. We had never heard of the word sin before until Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. After they sinned in the Garden of Eden, everything broke loose. And it's been getting worse ever since. Sin is a three-letter word, but boy, does it punch it has a big punch. Yes. It does a lot of damage. Then not only the sin of departing from the Lord, we find this in verse 2, but also we find in verses 4 through 10, we find the shame of departing from the Lord. It is a shame. It's a disgrace. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary between heaven and earth and held out his arms and his crucifix, they nailed him there, his feet, his hands, and they crucified him on the cross of Calvary. It is a mortal shame for mankind to turn their back on the Lord Jesus after all he's done for us. When are we as a church going to wake up and realize that we are in trouble? We are in trouble. But it's not too late to do something about it. We have churches right now that are getting so small at what they're doing, they're turning it over to these contemporary churches. Where they just clear out everything off up here and they pack the whole thing full of nothing but music. I would have to go to a fallen anchor preacher that was at a church, and that's exactly what he did. He got rid of the pulpit. He filled the whole place up with nothing but instruments. He got rid of the choir. He got rid of the song books. And he came to church preaching a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. Now that will attract attention. He had people come from everywhere. They said when he cranked that thing up, you could hear the music, the noise a mile away. And a lot of people just left because they couldn't stand the noise of the vibration. I mean, we all come to church to be entertained. We come to church to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. We come to church to listen to what thus saith God. I'm not going to go to church at a place where they're going to try to entertain me. I'm going to go where I can be fed the Word of God. I can be convicted of my sin, and I can find a house and live a better life for the Lord. That's what I want out of worship. I want the Lord to speak to me and turn my life around and make me more like Jesus and less like myself.
Amen.
Yes. Departing from the Lord is a sin. S-I-N. It's wrong. There's nothing right about it whatsoever. There's a sin of depravity. The word depravity means moral corruption. The Israelite people in the north had become completely morally corrupt. They were participating in, you name it, they were doing it. If it hadn't been invented, they were going to invent it. They were guilty of prostitution. They were guilty of the word whoredom means prostitution, incest. Isn't that a sickening thing? They were simply sickening, and the Lord probably would want to throw up as he looked at the nation of Israel in the north, all the things they were doing, and the things that had the life they were living. They had completely abandoned God, and God wasn't in the picture. So there's the sin of depravity. Morality. Hey, listen, I was watching TV the other evening, and they can't even advertise a vehicle on TV without cursing. I was sitting there, Brother Pastor, I was sitting there and they were advertising the Chevrolet, and all of a sudden the guy, as he started advertising, was cursing. I said, can you believe that? They can't even advertise a vehicle without profanity. And all the other filth and garbage. I mean, you can't even watch a commercial without being embarrassed and turning red. So the government's got you where right where they want in the palm of their hand, and it's just like all this homosexual and lesbian stuff. It is bombarded on TV. Yes. All you see is the government trying to persuade you that it's okay to be anything you want to be, regardless of what it is. If it's going against nature, they don't care. If it feels good, do it. That's not what the Bible teaches. Depravity of sin, depravity is wrong, morally wrong. If you find something that you know is not right on TV, then turn the flipping thing off. You don't have to sit there and watch it. You don't have to sit there and listen to it as they try to change your mind and warp your mind. You got that. And now they've got the phone. They've got the smartphone. I don't know how smart they are, but they got the smartphones now, and you can watch TV on the smartphone. There's not one thing on the phone that you can, on the smartphone, that if you want to find out, you can just punch a button, and there it is right in front of you. No wonder our churches are drying up today. The kind of filth and the garbage that we allow ourselves to be exposed to. We don't have to do that, church. The Bible says that before you come to the house of God, like the brother was said in the Sunday school hour, you take your mind and you just fill all this filth and garbage. The Bible says that before you come to the house of God, you need to come prepared for worship. Like the brother said about reading and the Bible and praying on your knees and getting close to God. The Bible says, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. Is that not what the book says? Many people today don't want to draw nigh to God. God, if it does, brother, they're going to have to do some house cleaning. That's right. What's important in your life? So that is the sin of deprivation as well. That means denying the very thing that you need in your life. They saw the Lord and they said, you know what? I don't like this way of living. This is a holy way. This is a righteous way. This is a good way. I don't want that. But over here, when I worship Bill, I can do any blessed thing I want to do. My wife had an uncle one time. He was meaner than the devil.
and I would try my best to witness to him, and I just had to stand back. He said, he said, if I was going to be anything, he said, I'd be a Catholic because they could do anything they want to do and still go to heaven. He said, besides, if I go to hell, he said, I'm just going to be the bartender down there. That's the kind of mentality. He wound up, somebody walked in his house one day and blew his head off. The Bible says you live by the sword, you die by the sword. That's what the book says. So we find here also the deviation, the sin of deviation, the sin of changing your course, changing the way, the route that God chose for you, the life that God chose for you. That's what the Israelite people did in the north. They decided they didn't like going on the Lord's course. They didn't like the way he chose for them. So therefore, they were going to change the whole system. They're just going to make up their own God and make their own little statue. They worship that little statue, and they can do anything they want to do and not feel bad about it. Departing from the Lord is a serious matter. Yahweh, Adonai, it's a serious matter to turn your back on the Lord. Well, if someone once said, it'll take you further than you want to go, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. Sure. The second thing I find in the scripture, not only the sin of departing from the Lord, but also the shame. We look down here in the scriptures here. It says in verse 4, and of course verse 3 said that Gomer, she became pregnant and she had a son, and they called, and the Lord said, I want you to call his name Jezreel. Now, isn't that an odd name? Would you ever call your son or a Jezreel? Come here, Jezreel. Well, that's what they call me. See, the Lord said, I want you to call him Jezreel. So the word Jezreel, if you look it up, you'll find out it was a place of valley. And there was like 30-some battles that had taken place in Jezreel. They knew that. Saul and Jonathan and his brothers were killed there in Jezreel. And a bunch of other people were killed there in Jezreel. It was a place of violence and a place of bloodshed. So every time they would mention Hosea's son's name, Jezreel, they would automatically think about violence, and they'd automatically think about bloodshed. Have you ever seen a day in your life in the United States where we're shedding more blood and there's more violence than you've ever seen in your life? This nation could be called Jezreel. And that's what the Lord was saying. Because there's going to be a lot of bloodshed. He was saying to the Israelite people, when they said his name, he said, you know, you're getting ready to face something that you have no idea what you're facing. And there's going to be a lot of bloodshed. There's going to be a lot of killing. There's going to be a lot of violence because you've decided that you're going to abandon me. You're going to leave me for something that you think is better. No. They're going to find out the hard way and would. And then the second thing I find here, not in verse 4, but in verse 5, we find the brokenness in verse 5. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. So there will come a day, by listening to Hosea and by hearing his children's name mentioned, they would understand there's going to come a day that they will be broken. And because this is what this word meant, brokenness. If you want to live your life without Christ, and you want to live your life the way you think is best for you, without consulting him first. Now listen, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Jesus Christ has the best life for you. He has the best plan for you. He has the best course for you. He has the best journey for you. He has the best ending for you. Why wouldn't anybody choose the Lord Jesus over anything in this world? I don't understand it. But they were going to be broken. He was going to break them. And the sad part about it was they were not going to return. This was their last. This was the breaking point. This was the last invitation they would have
the last opportunity they would have to change the way they're living.
And they wouldn't listen, because when you go ahead and read the scriptures and you read the Bible, you find out that the northern kingdom was completely annihilated and completely destroyed.
Back in those days, when those the Assyrians would come down, actually the Assyrians would come down later on, and they would overcome Smyrna, and they would take and conquer them, the sword of the northern kingdom. And what they did when another nation conquered another nation, they would take these large hooks, and they would take and hook it into their lip. And they'd tie something onto it, and they'd do the other person the same way, and they would strip them of all their clothes. They would be completely naked. They'd have a large hook in their mouth, and they'd be tied onto each other, and they'd be led away. Sometimes 1,200, sometimes 1,700 miles away, and they would be taken there into captivity.
They knew that. And they knew what another nation would do if they came down and conquered them. They knew that.
But sin has a way of convincing you that it's going to be okay. It's going to be alright. Don't listen to God. Don't listen to the Lord. You just keep on doing what you're doing. You keep on living the way you're living, and it's going to be okay. That's what sin says. The third thing I find in verse 6 is Leruamah, her name, that would be a daughter. It says in verse 6, and she conceived him by a daughter, and God said unto him, call her name Leruamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. The word L-O is the word beginning there. It means, in the Hebrew, it means no or not. So when they added that little two-letter word there, it changed everything. Leruamah meant mercy. Leruamah meant no mercy. So he said to them, by calling this girl's name out, they would be reminded that God had said to them, there's going to come a time that right now I've got mercy. Right now I want to give you mercy. I want to give you forgiveness of your sin and for your wavering and turning away from departing. I want to do that for you. But if you continue the way you're going, there'll be no mercy. There'll be no forgiveness. And our nation is the same way. If we continue on the route that we're taking and the journey that we're taking, somewhere down the road, there will be no mercy. There will be no forgiveness. And we'll have to suffer the consequences. I fear for my children, and I fear for my great-children, my grandchildren. I fear what's down the road ahead because of the way that we're going. It's not a pretty picture that we're seeing before us. Then the last thing I'll share with you in closing is not only... And it's a good note. It's a positive note. Not only the sin of departing, the shame of departing, and there would be shame, but also the salvation for the departed. Grace, he said. And then he turned around and said, you know what? I will. You will be mine. Look what he says in verse 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said to them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said to them, ye are the sons of the living God. Now, isn't that beautiful? After all he said to them, what's going to happen and what's going to take place? Now, this northern kingdom, salvation was something they needed. They need to be delivered. They need to be saved. They need to turn from their wickedness. But they would not. Therefore, God had no other alternative, no other choice, but to bring the Assyrians down upon them, and they would be destroyed, completely annihilated. Now, he's gathering, in these last days, he's gathering back his children, the children of Israel, the children of Judah. He's bringing back, and he's going to make them as one. And he did that through Jesus Christ. Because look what he said in verse 11. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. And they shall come out of the land
For great shall be the day of Jezreel. One head.
That one head means Jesus Christ. He's already come. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came. He brought salvation into the world. This will be a day of redemption. This will be a day of restoration. This will be a day of rejoicing.
One day it's going to happen just like He said it would. Let's go to that head. And that's already happened. That one head is Jesus Christ. He has come. He has sacrificed. He has given His life. And all we've got to do is realize that and turn to Him. I don't know what it's going to take for the church to wake up. Satan has rocked us to sleep. He has put us to sleep. We're sitting around thinking, well, I don't really know what we're thinking. And Berkmont's a big church, but Berkmont's not doing here what they need to be doing. They're doing a lot of good things. And a lot of good things are happening in Berkmont. But there's a whole lot more they could be doing than just sitting around. What about you today? If you looked at your life and analyzed it right now, and you thought about it for just a moment, could you say that you are drawing near to God or you are drawing further away from God? Could you say that you might be listed as one who is sort of over the years, you know, there's one time this young lady got saved in church. And this other lady, a little later on, Brother Baxter, walked up to her. Because she was so bubbling over. She was so excited about being saved. You know how it is when you get saved. You're so fired up you just can't hardly stand yourself. And this lady walked, this older lady walked up to her and said, ah, she said, that'll pass. I thought, what did I just hear? An older Christian telling a younger Christian that they'll just sort of dwindle away? Is that maybe that's happened to you? Maybe over the years you've lost your joy. You've lost your excitement. You've lost your thrill of being what the Lord should be. I'll never forget the night the Lord saved me from the pastor. 1972. Like Jeremiah said, his words were like fire in my bones. And I said I wasn't going to say anything. But I couldn't help myself. Ever since 1972, I'm going on 74 years old. I say at the age of 22. I still have not got over being saved. The night that I was saved, I can remember just like it was last night. How the Lord Jesus Christ came into my heart and forgave my sins and turned my life around. I was so fired up, I felt the Lord, anything you want me to do, you just call my name. Yes, let me say, I'll be glad. I said, if you want me to keep the door, watch the door. If you want me to back in the car, whatever you want me to do, Lord. I said, I'm grateful for you saving me and forgiving me my sin. Write my name on the Lamb's Book of Life, adopt me into your family. I could never get over what you've done for me. And out of love and out of gratitude, I just want you to take my life. I want to be that living sacrifice that says in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1. When it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's right. I thought about preaching that message this morning, but the Lord sent me in another direction. Oh my goodness. What a joy it is to be His servant. What a joy it is to serve Him. What a joy it is to get up. I was out visiting last Sunday. And I had some people I was going to go to. Because we have this, on this table in the foyer, we have these names of people that's moved in the community. We have the names of their addresses. So if you want to, you can pick up those addresses and you can go find them. And we have a little package we give to them and tell them that we appreciate them being in our community. And we want to leave this little package. And it tells them all about our church and how to claim salvation and have a CD of the Passion of Christ. Just has a lot of information about our church. And then you get a chance to ask them if they're saved and going to heaven. So last Sunday I was out visiting. I went to this one house, and it wasn't the house I was supposed to, because it was like an apartment, and there was two doors there. And I happened to go to the door that I thought it was, but it wasn't that one. So I got a chance to talk to this lady and share Christ with her. And she hadn't been in church in 6 years, Pastor. So I invited her to church and told her we'd be glad to have her. I said, well, the lady lives next door, is her name Zoe? She said, well, her name is Zoe. I said, well, actually, she's the one I was supposed to visit. So I said, is she home? She said, no. So I left a little package on her door to our church. So I got over to visit another family, and I pull up to this house, and I knock on the door, and nobody's there. So I leave this little package on the door. Well, I started to get my car, the door part opened up, and there was a little elderly lady. And so I saw her standing there, so I got out. I walked up and introduced myself, and she, you know, she was probably lonely and just wanted somebody to talk to her. And that's a good thing. I mean, that's the good thing about visiting. Because the Lord's going to send you where He wants you to be at. This lady was 92 years old. She said, will you come on in? I said, sure I will. I sat down right there, and she never stopped talking from the time I sat down on her feet to take her couch. She never stopped talking until I started to leave. And she said, I have a knot, she said, on my neck right here. And she said, I have a knot on my leg. And she said, my throat is sore. And she said, I think it might be cancer. So, and I said, well, I said, let's you and I pray together. Let's pray that, be positive, that it won't be cancer, that it may be mine, or just something that can just take care of for her. So I got to spend the whole Sunday afternoon with this dear lady that I've never met in my life. And I got a chance to share Jesus with her, encourage her, and pray for her with her. Church, listen. Get out of these walls and get out of this community and find out who's living here. Find out what their needs are. Find out if they're saved or lost. Don't leave it to your pastor. You have a divine gift of God. Use it. Don't use an excuse that, well, you know, I'm just too tired. I have all this stuff to do. Nobody works any harder than I do, even at the age of 73. But I still got time to give my own doors for Jesus. So, with that in mind, if you're here today and you're not saved, let me invite you to Christ. Come, let Him cleanse you, let Him wash you, let Him make you a new creature, with all things old and all things becoming new. If you're dried up and you're stagnant and you're stale as a Christian, and you need some fire put into you, get to this altar, tell God about it, and ask God to ignite you. Ask God to set you on fire so that you can be useful for His glory. Father, thank you for the time that we've had together here this morning. We pray, Almighty God, that your will be done in the life of every individual here. And Lord, that you'll pour your Spirit upon this church and they'll get set on fire. They'll have a vision like they never had before. Lord, it has to start with somebody. And Father, we pray that your will be done here today. Blessed be your pastor's wife and his family.